Avrom Horowitz.
Okay.
I know, I'm from Atlanta, so I know
where. Aha, okay. Just mentioned that the source for this fast day is the Pasuk in Zechariah, which is the first source in the sheet. Ko amar Hashem tzivakos tzom harvi'i v'tzom hachamishi v'tzom hashvi'i v'tzom ha'asiri. Yeah. Leves Yehuda l'sason u'l'simchol mo'adim tovim v'ames v'ashalom ahavu. So the context of this pasuk is the Jewish people in Galus who had not returned yet to Eretz Yisrael. This was during the beginning of the Second Temple period. And the Jewish people at this time were attempting to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. There were a number of challenges that they faced. And the question was, should they observe the fast days, these four fast days, as they have been doing thus far? What are they? So Tzom HaRevi'i is the fast of the fourth month, so that's Shavasar, that's Shavasar B'Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi is the fifth month again counting from Nisan, so that's Tisha B'Av. Tzom HaShvi'i is Tzom Gedalia, and Tzom HaAsiri is the fast that we're observing today, namely the fast of the 10th month, the 10th month being Asar B'Teves. What the Navi answers to them is quite cryptic, and the Gemara explains at length what exactly the answer was. He says in this Pasuk that they will one day be holidays when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Then these four fast days will be holidays. Halacha L'maisa, the Gemara concludes that if it's the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, they're holidays. If we're at a time of Shemad, they're fast days. If it's neither, so they're optional, and Klal Yisrael has accepted upon themselves these four fast days as obligations. So that is the fast of today. Now, when during the 10th month of Teves is the fast observed? So there's actually, I wasn't planning to go into it, but since you mentioned it, so the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah records a debate between the Tanaim, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, which is the proper fast days at the 10th of the month, which is of course what we do, or the 5th of the month. If it's the 5th of the month, it is a commemoration of the conclusion of the process of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. If it's the 10th of the month, so then it's the commemoration of the beginning of the destruction, namely when the Babylonians surrounded Yerushalayim, and we are fasting on the 10th of the month. We accept this position. So if you just heard a brief analysis as to what they might be arguing about, and that in fact there used to be two fast days. So, but we of course assume that it's the 10th of the month. And how do we know that this happened on the 10th of the month? So take a look at source number 2. It's a pasuk in Yechezkel, Vayidvar Hashem Eli Bashana Hatshi'is. Yechezkel says, I received a prophecy on the ninth year, B'chodesh Asiri, on the 10th month, B'asor L'chodesh Lemor, Ben Adam, so God addresses Yechezkel, he calls him Son of Man, K'sav L'cha Eshem Hayom, write down the name of this day, it's Etem Hayom Hazeh, this very day, Samach Bavel Es Yushalayim, Be'etem Hayom Hazeh, on this very day, the king of Bavel surrounded Yerushalayim and besieged Yerushalayim. Now, a parenthetical point relating to this pasuk, which we're not actually going to talk about at length, but just an idiosyncrasy about Asar B'Teves, is that the formulation of the pasuk stresses Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. In fact, the pasuk says twice, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Is there a significance to this? So if you skip all the way to the second page, source number 14, the Abudraham. See, Abudraham, and it's cited in the Beis Yosef as well, has a remarkable chiddush about this point, and he says as follows, even though we know that, let's say, the fast of Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we push it off. This past, for example, we observed Tisha B'Av on Yud B'Av. We don't fast on Shabbos. It's Asur to fast on Shabbos. But if Asar B'Teves were to fall out on Shabbos, then in fact we would fast on Shabbos. Sometimes it falls out on Friday. We fast on Friday. And if it were to fall out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. Now, happens to be that it doesn't fall out on Shabbos, but it could if the Rosh Chodesh was calculated based off of the Eidos of the Re'ia, and in fact, that was what was done until many centuries after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. They continued to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh Al Pi Re'ia. So if it were to turn out when they were Mekadesh L'Chodesh Al Pi Re'ia that Asar B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, then in fact it would be observed on Shabbos. Now, the Abu Draham tells us that the basis for this is because the Pasuk stresses B'Etzem Hayom Hazeh must be observed on this day. Dafka on this day can't be pushed off. Now, what about the prohibition against fasting on Shabbos? How could that be allowed? So, a number of the Achronim address this question. It's very problematic. In fact, the Beis Yosef, if you see in the next source, just points out, V'lo yadati minayin lo zeh. I don't know how he knew this. Now, he knows it from the Pasuk. How do we know that the Pasuk justifies fasting on Shabbos? And in fact, the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch more or less paskins against this view.
And
the Rambam, based off of the Rambam, right? The Mechaber paskins that we would not fast on Shabbos. But what was the Abu Draham thinking? So, one explanation can be found in Reb Chaim, which is the next source, again on page 2, source number 16. And Reb Chaim says an interesting thing. He says that you see from Tainis Chalom, which you can fast on Shabbos, that fundamentally fasting on Shabbos, if necessary, is permissible.
If it's part of it.
However, correct. However, generally speaking, for the other fasts, we can push them off, and therefore we do. So, for example, Tisha B'Av, it's not the pshat that Tisha B'Av is less severe than Asar B'Teves. No, it's more severe. We start Tisha B'Av at night, we have the Chamisha Inuyim and the like. But Tisha B'Av can be pushed off. In fact, when we push it off to Asara B'Av, so as you know, there's even an opinion that says that's the ideal time to fast because that was when the Beis HaMikdash was primarily destroyed. We, of course, don't follow that opinion, but fundamentally, Tisha B'Av can be pushed off, and therefore it is pushed off.
I don't think there's an opinion like that. It's just that the reason, according to Yerushalmi, that's how the Rogachov and Andrew Osamat explain, that's the reason why we fast on Tisha B'Av on the 10th day, not like the...
But Rabbi Yochanan says it could be. It would be if they were asking me. It would be preferable to fast.
Nobody
says that. But the point is, there's an argument to be made that Tisha B'Av should always be observed on the 10th of Av. So the point. Right. So we don't paskin that way. We paskin. We follow the beginning of the destruction, not the primary destruction, which actually relates to we're about to say in a second. But fundamentally, Tisha B'Av can be pushed off, and therefore it is pushed off for Shabbos. But if you have a fast day that cannot be pushed off, then the fasting would be on Shabbos, as is the case over here. The Reb Yonis and Ivichitz in the next source.
So Reb Chaim also, he says, because it's Tolle B'Chodesh also.
Yeah, the other fast days are, had the Navi said the dates, it just says Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaChamishi, here it specifies the date.
I thought the pshat, maybe in Reb Chaim doesn't explain this, but I think that's what Reb Chaim means, is because Tzom HaRevi'i is Tammuz. So Tammuz is not just Shivasa B'Tammuz, because Tammuz you have 3 weeks, you have, some say it's Tisha B'Tammuz, the first Korban. So it's not just the day of Shivasa B'Tammuz. It's the whole month. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Av is you don't just have Tisha B'Av, you have the 9 days and then you have Asiri in Israel. So it's Tal and the Chodesh. And the same thing with Tzom Gedali, because Tzom Gedali also is during Aseret to make Tshuva. And the whole thing of Tainis is for Tshuva.
It itself
so
is
it's,
pushed
so
off.
So
right?
Much tea, so it's Tal
and Gedalia died in Rosh Hashanah.
So, yeah, and that, well, not according to the Gemara. It seems not like that from the Gemara and the Radak. But Tzom Asiri, it's not Tal in the month. Because that's why it says Beit Shemayim was there, because it's not the month, it's just that day, or maybe another 2 days, but it's mainly that day with Somach Melech Bovel. So that's why, that's the difference between the other three fasts and Asar B'Teves, because the others are more taller in the Chodesh.
Okay.
I think that's what Reb Chaim means.
Yeah. I think so. So Yonzen Eibershitz says that it's a slight, he gives an explanation, why is it that we would treat Asar B'Teves so stringently that we would fast even on Shabbos? He says it's because, in a certain sense, Asar B'Teves, which commemorates the beginning of the process of the Churban, is more chamor than even Tisha B'Av, which or Tzom Gedalia, which commemorate the end of the process. You always have a question, what's more significant? So we actually just mentioned it concerning Tisha B'Av being, we do on the 9th and not the 10th, because that's the Haschalah of the Paranusa. But in a sense, Asar B'Teves, which was really the beginning of these four fasts, it's the one that began the process that ultimately led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that is why it's very severe, and therefore we observe it even on Shabbos. But be that as it may, I'd like to instead talk about another point, which somewhat perhaps contradicts what you were just saying, not directly, but that the fast of Asar B'Teves is not just one in which we commemorate something that happened on the 10th of Teves, but actually there are 3 days of mourning, of fasting, that are commemorated. We, generally speaking, only fast on the 10th. Actually, on Friday, my daughter came home from school, and she asked me, am I fasting today? So I said, no. And she said, well, we learned in school that some people fast today because the 8th of Teves is also a fast day. So she's right. Though I've never heard of anyone actually fasting on the 8th of Teves. And this comes from Megillas Tainis. And we're going to see the passage in Megillas Tainis. It's source number 3. We're going to see it as quoted in the Bahag. And Megillas Tainis lists a number of fast days. Tanu Rabbanan, this is the Torah quoting, but then he has the Maimer from Gilas Tainis, Elu Yamim Shemis Anin Bahan Min HaTorah. When the Bahag uses the term Min HaTorah, it doesn't necessarily have the same connotation as what we usually think of Min HaDoraisa. But these are the fast days that one must fast on Min HaTorah. Kol Mi Shemis Anin Bahan Lo Yochal V'Yishdat Erev. Anyone who fasts on these days should not eat or drink till the evening. And then there's a list of fast days. Number 1 is the 1st of Nisan, Be'achad B'Nisan, Meisu B'nei Aaron. Be'asara B'Nisan, Meisa Miriam, V'Nistalka Be'er. Most of these fast days on the list are commemorating the yahrt sites of very important people, like Miriam and the like. And it's a whole list of fast days, and it goes on and on in this list. There's actually a problem here, which is with the first one as well as others, which is it's on Rosh Chodesh. The problem with that is that, generally speaking, it's aser to fast on Rosh Chodesh. The Beis Yosef notes this. If you take a look at the Beis Yosef source number 4, he says, first of all, lo ra'isi me'olam v'lo shemati mishin nahag lis anos bahem. So it's not just nowadays that we never heard of anybody fasting on the yard site of Miriam. The Beis Yosef himself says, I never heard of anybody fasting on that day. But moreover, he says, v'me'emes sheyesh l'tmoa al mi shetiknam, whoever instituted these fast days, it's perplexing. Heyach tikin k'tzasam l'sanos b'Rosh Chodesh. Some of them are in Rosh Chodesh, like the 1st of Nisan. We know you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. The Beis Yosef doesn't answer this question, though when he formulates it in the Shulchan Aruch in Taf Kuf Pei Sif Aleph, he writes that Elu hayamim she'iru bahen tzaros lavosein v'rayu l'sanos bahen v'afal pi shemiktasim b'Rosh Chodesh. But then he says yesh mi she'omer she'is anu bo v'tov shelo l'hashlam b'Rosh Chodesh. It's better not to be mashlam the fast, to complete the fast, if it's Rosh Chodesh. But anyway, there's this long list of fast days, and we won't read the whole list, but we'll skip to a little bit before where it's bolded, because that's when we get to the month of Teves. So it says, B'shmone b'Teves, nichtav Torah Yevanis. So the first event on Teves that we commemorate is on the 8th of Teves, and it was when the Torah was translated into Greek, Bimei Talmai HaMelech, in the days of King Ptolemy, Uvachoshech Le'olam Shlosha Yamim, and darkness came to the world for 3 days. We're also not going to focus so much on this. This was commemorated on Friday, but this is an event that's described in a number of places in Chazal, with slight discrepancies. The most famous version is from Megillah, which describes the Nes of how the 70 Chachamim, or it says over there 72 Chachamim, were gathered, and they were put into different rooms, and each one was instructed to translate the Torah. And there was a Nes that each one of them wrote the exact same thing, and they made certain corrections for various reasons. For example, the first one is, instead of translating as a Bereishis bara Elokim, which could be misleading, that there was something that created God, rather they translated it as Elokim bara Bereishis. Now, this Megillas Tainis says that when this happened, 3 days of darkness came to the world. What's so bad about translating the Torah? Many of us rely on art scroll translations all the time. So it's pashut that obviously that's not the ideal. And there's a lot to it, if one could give a separate cheer on the problem with this Torah being distorted, not our Yerusha, and the like. But I'll just mention what it says in Maseches Sofrim when the story is cited. And it says over there, V'hayoso hayom kasha liYisrael k'yom shenase bo ha'egel. That day was as bad for Yisrael as the day in which the egel was made. Shelo haisa ha'torah yechola lihitargem kol tzarka. Because the Torah could not properly be translated. Now, this is true with any translation. Anytime you translate something into another language, something is lost in translation. You can't capture the nuances and the like. But al achas kama v'kama, it's true with respect to Torah, when there's infinite wisdom in every letter of Torah, so much to be learned, and that's lost in translation. I think perhaps there's also something more fundamental here. We mentioned how Asar B'Teves, or these fasts, commemorate the beginning of the process of destruction, the beginning of Galus, and our losing our own Torah and having it been translated into a foreign language is a reflection of that loss. It's the beginning of that process, which is something that continued with our being exiled from our land, other religions claiming the Torah as their own, and the like. And that process began with the translation of the Torah into Yavanis. And that's why, even though there was this incredible miracle in terms of how it happened, and we're grateful for that miracle, but at the same time, the very idea of the Torah being translated into Yavanis is a tragedy, and thus that's a fast day.
Can
and
I
it's,
give an example of that?
Please.
Just want to give an example, because even the Christians agree with this. This is really from Tanakh, but what happened is that where it says in Yeshaya that Alma, he led us that a girl, mm-hmm. means a young girl. Alma means a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Greek, they don't have the same word is used as young girl. It's the same word is used virgin. So when they translated the Greek, they wrote virgin. So that's what the whole Christianity is based on that. And today, so they wrote it in the New Testament. It says it in there. And the whole Christianity is based on that. Mm-hmm. So today, even the Christian scholars agree that it was a wrong translation, and it's no proof for the whole Christian thing of the virgin birth. And I read also an interesting thing. This was written by a Rishon, Sefer Yetzirah. Shneur Lehman wrote a whole article about it. That the ones who put together the letters in English, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, some of them comes from Latin, so they, many years ago, but they were Jewish. So they took Lamed Mem Nun, and they put it L, M, M. Why? Because L means God, Kale. M N doesn't have a mother. L M N. That's what they say. They hit it into the. This it says in one of the Rishonim.
Okay, we'll actually refer to that source shortly. It's there's an interesting place where that appears. But anyway, we'll get there maybe. Okay, so that's the eighth of Av, eighth of Tammuz. Then it says, "B'tisha bo lo kasvu rabosenu al mahu," meaning to say something terrible happened on that day that warrants fasting. However, Rabosenu did not write what it is. This mysterious line has been the subject of speculation for well over 1,000 years. What exactly is it that happened on the ninth of Teves that could not be written down, that could not be revealed? Something happened, and something that happened warrants fasting on the ninth of Teves. But the question is, what is it, and why couldn't it be written down? And then it continues and mentions something else that took place during the ninth of Teves. Uvo vayom meis Ezra haKohen uNechemya ben Chakalya. On that day, Ezra died, and Nechemya. And then it continues with the tenth, Ba'asara bo samach Bavel al Yerushalayim lahachriva. On the tenth of Teves, the king of Bavel surrounded Yerushalayim to destroy it. So, what exactly happened, and why couldn't it be written down? So, if you take a look, this Lashon is quoted in the Tur, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch as well. And the Taz wonders, why is it that everybody is so perplexed about what actually happened? Take a look at source number 5 on your source sheets. The Taz says, Teme gedola ha isa b'slicho shel asar b'teves, debetes bo meis ez ha-sofer b'tach b'yorav. On the slichos that we said this morning, which are in source number 6, it states explicitly why we fast on the 9th of Teves, or what tragic event took place on the 9th of Teves. If you want to just take a look, it says, Zo'amti b'tishabo b'chlima v'chefer, chasach me'alai me'il hod v'tsefer, tarof torath bo hanosein imre shefer, who Ezra ha-sofer. Ezra Sofer is referred to as the Nosein Imre Shefer. The Gemara says, has Torah not been given by Moshe, it would have been worthy to have been given by Ezra. And in fact, Ezra restored the Torah from being lost, basically, during that time, at the beginning of the Second Temple period. The Jewish people almost completely forgot Torah. It was a time of assimilation, of severe intermarriage. And Ezra Sofer really restored the Torah to Klal Yisrael. You guys learned about it a little last year in Sanhedrin when we did the Sigiv Ksav Ashuris and the like. So Ezra Sofer died. Ezra Sofer is, in a sense, compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. And thus, we fast, we're saddened. So the Taz asks, why is it that we're so perplexed? What do you mean it wasn't written down? It was written down. Now, the answer to the Taz question is that clearly there was something else. You're right. The ninth is the yahrzeit of Ezra HaSofer. And in fact, in the Megillas Tainis, it mentions that. In addition to mentioning that that was the day of the mysterious event, it also says, Uvo Vayom Meis Ezra HaKohen. So, besides Ezra's death, there was something else that happened, and it was that event that could not be recorded. And that event was hidden. It was mysterious. If you take a look at source number 8, which is from the Orchos Chaim, the Rimi Lunil, it makes that point. Betes bo, on the 9th of Teves, lo kasu rabosenu alma, v'nistar hasod, u vo bayom meis Ezra Kohen v'nechemi ben Chakalia. Meaning to say there was a secret. The secret was hidden. And as well, in addition, on that day, Ezra and Nehemiah died. So the question is, what happened that was hidden, and why was it hidden? What is this this great secret? So it's not at all clear, and as I mentioned, there are a number of theories. One early and fascinating theory is the previous source, sound number 7, the Sefer HaKabbalah of the Ravid. This is not the Ravid who wrote Hasagos on the Rambam that you're familiar with. It's the Ravid number 1, Rabbi Avram ibn Daud. He lived a bit earlier. He was born in 1110 in Cordoba in Spain. He died in 1180 in Toledo as a martyr. He was an astronomer and a philosopher, but he was most well known as a historian. He wrote a sefer called Sefer HaKabbalah, which is a history or a chronology of the Jewish people. And in it, he tells us what happened that we commemorate on the 9th of Av. And what happened? It was the death of Rabbeinu Yehosef HaLevi. Who was Rabbeinu Yehosef HaLevi? So it was Rabbi Yehosef HaLevi HaNagid, who lived from 1035 to 1066. He was the son of Rabbi Shmuel HaNagid, and he was the leader of the Jewish people in Granada. His father preceded him as the Nagid, as the leader of the Jews in Granada. His father, Shmuel HaNagid, is a bit more famous. He was the Nagid for 9 years following his father's death. And in the year 1066, he was murdered along with 500 other Jews in a pogrom. This was a rather significant pogrom. And it was his murder that was commemorated on the 9th. Of Teves. Now, it's obvious then why this would not have been written down, because it was written down. If it was written down 500-600 years before it took place, that would have led to a number of issues. So that's the first theory, it's a very interesting theory. It would presume that the author of Megillas Tainis had Ruach HaKodesh in writing this down. You mentioned before Professor Schneer Lyman, so he actually has an article on this topic, on Megillas Tainis in general, and this topic in specific, and he says that a difficulty with this explanation, even if we were to grant Ruach HaKodesh to the author of Megillas Tainis, is why would Rabbeinu Yosef HaLevi HaNagid be picked of all the Jewish martyrs throughout history to commemorate? There have been many, many great Jewish leaders who were killed al Kiddush Hashem. It's interesting that this one would be picked, perhaps because it was during these 3 days of darkness anyway.
I forgot where, but I saw it. It said Rabbeinu Yosef in Tzarfas.
I don't think it's correct.
You didn't see? You saw it there?
No, I think that's this is what's referring to. Anyway, at least this is what it's assumed. So that is the first theory. And it's also quoted by the Birkei Yosef in source number 9. Right, that's where I found it.
It says Shloish Ones Bugoy Bayon. And I was always thinking what Shloish Ones, because two could be
Ezra and Nehemiah. And the third, so the third is somebody else who died. So according to the Sefer Kabbalah, it's Rabbi Yosef HaNagid, right? So there are three people in the Sfardi Slichos that died on the 9th of Teves. The question is, who's the third? So again, the first theory that we saw is it's referring to Rabbi Yosef HaNagid. The next two theories that we're going to see are even more interesting. These are well-known reasons. They're both cited in Professor Lyman's article as well as in earlier sources. So source number 11, source number 10, is printed on the Hagos Ta'aros in one of the printings of the Tor that was printed in Vilna. And it says that on the 9th of Av, what happened? So that was the birth of Oso Ha'ish, which is a reference to Yeshu. Now, how do we know that Yeshu was born on the 9th of Teves? So that calculation comes from a Rishon, actually quite an early source, someone by the name of Rabbi Avram Bar Chiya. He died in 1136, and he wrote in the year 1122 that Jesus was born on December 25th, and that year corresponds to the 9th of Teves. He was an astronomer and an expert in calendrical calculations. I'm not fit to follow his cheshbonos, but he makes the cheshbon going all the way back that December 25th was the year that that year corresponded to the 9th of Teves.
Is he the one that invented one of the astronomical machines?
I don't think so, but not that I'm aware of. Anyhow, that's his theory. Now, if this is right, so then it's very obvious why that reason for the fast could not be written down. We had enough trouble and persecutions due to texts in the Jewish corpus that were seen as anti-Christian, and if it was known that there was a fast day on the 9th of Teves, so that surely would have caused a lot of troubles. And therefore, the reason for the fast on the 9th of Teves was hidden. I just was saddened to find out that Rav Moshe Shapiro was a nifter. So I once heard a shiur from Rav Moshe Shapiro on this topic, and he assumed that this was actually the correct reason for the 9th of Teves. He talked about this particular point. He connected it to another Gemara, which gave you source number 12. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, another source which describes, I guess, the where Christmas comes up in Halacha. It's a Mishnah in Meseches Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah over there says, "Ve'elu eidehen shalodei kochavim, kalandra, kalanda, and shatranura." So these are idolatrous festivals, pagan holidays, and there are certain halachos that relate to them. There's restrictions of commerce in the days before and afterwards. So what are these days? So the Gemara over there explains the following. Kalanda is ches yamim achar tkufa, the 8 days following the winter solstice. The winter solstice is the day of the year where the night is the longest, the day is the shortest, it's the darkest day of the year. And Satranura is Ches Yamim Lifnei Tkufa, 8 days prior to the winter solstice. And what's significant about this? So, Tana Rabbanan, Lefishra Adam Arishon Yom Shem Mismait Vaholech. Amar Oili, Shema Bishvil Shesarachti Olam Chashoch Baadi, Vechozer Letovavo. After Adam had sinned, he noticed that the days were getting shorter and shorter, the nights were getting longer and longer, and he thought that this process would continue until it became entirely dark and there was no night left, no day left, and that was a punishment for his sin with the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. Now, what is it that, what happened? So it says that he fasted and prayed and did tshuva for 8 days, and that culminated in the solstice, and then he saw that the days started to get longer again, the nights shorter. Kevan shirat kufas teves ra yom shemarach v'holech amar minhago shel olam hu. This is the way of the world. This is an astronomical feature. And therefore, what did he do? Halach v'asa shmona yamim tovim. He made a yomtif of 8 days. L'shana acheres Asan le'elu v'le'elu yamim tovim. The next year, both the 8 days before and after were made into holidays. Hu kavam l'shem shemayim v'hem kavam l'shem avodas kochavim. The idolaters took these two 8-day festivals instituted by Adam HaRishon and turned them into idolatrous festivals, which were known as Kalanda and Satranura. And it happens to be that these holidays, especially Satranura, were known as Saturnalia were the pagan origins of Christmas. Christmas, like many of the Christian holidays, has pagan roots, and that's that. So December 25th, he pointed out the connection. He also noted the Maharal, which is the next source, was Hanukkah. We could go into it more, but we're almost out of time. Points out that the 8 days of Hanukkah really correspond also to those days. Chaf Hei, it's not always Chaf Hei Kislev doesn't always precisely correspond to the solstice, but because we have a lunar calendar, but it's the same time, and that relates to Hanukkah being a Yom Tov of light being over on the Choshech, so it starts during the darkest period of time of the year, and the like.
That would answer the kasha that they still said, why Hanukkah is 8 days.
It would, indeed.
Put it in the new safer of answers.
I don't know if it's in one of the 100 answers. So that is, I guess, two connections between Christmas and the Jewish holiday, the Jewish calendar, Asar B'Tevet, Tes B'Tevet. The final answer that we'll see today is perhaps the most intriguing. That's source 11. And this is from the Hagos of Rav Baruch Frankel on the Shulchan Aruch. He has a Ksav Yad that says the following. The Ksav Yad says, Shebiyom Zeh Meis Shimon HaKalapus. On that day, meaning on the 9th of Teves, Shimon HaKalapus died. Shoshias Yisrael B'tzara Gedola, that saved the Jewish people from a great tzara, a great misfortune, Bizman HaPritzim, during the times of the lawless ones. So what tzara is he referring to, and who is this Shimon HaKalapus? So the Shimon HaKalapus it's referring to is someone who appears in the Toldos Yeshu literature. You actually referred to it before with the story that you cited about the alphabet. That's also from there. Toldos Yeshu literature is a number of works that describe the life of Yeshu. Many of the stories in these works are from Chazal. Not all of them, some of them, and as I said, they're different versions, some are more reliable than others, some come from non-canonical Christian sources, and the like. So, again, another time to describe them. The stories there are fascinating. They describe, for example, why Yeshu was... what he did wrong, like the Gemara in Gittin, it assumes that primarily his avera was that he was malig al divrei chachamim. Another question is which Yeshu that Gemara in Gittin is referring to, but that's another story. So he's malig al divrei chachamim. That's why the Gemara says, if you look at the non-censored versions of the Gemara in Gittin, he was nidon b'tzar rosachas. Anyway, it talks about how Yeshu, it's interesting, it assumed that he did do miracles. It says how he did miracles. He used the Shema Mefurash. It talks about how he got the Shema Mefurash. He got it from the Beis HaMikdash. How did he get out of the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash, they used to use the Shema Mefurash in Birkas Kohanim. And whole story, fascinating story, how he got it out. But what does this have to do with the Shimon HaKalapus? So Shimon HaKalapus was a person, somewhat resembles Paul, but not exactly, who, if you remember from your history, the early Christians were Jewish, and they continued to observe halacha, and as such, they posed a very significant threat to the Jewish people, the genuine Jews. They were claiming that what they were saying was correct and a true reflection of Torah and the like. At some point, sometime a little bit after the life or the death of Jesus, they became primarily a non-Jewish religion. Again, this largely has to do with Paul. They preached to idolaters. They no longer believed in the binding authority of Torah and mitzvos and the like. So how did this happen? So according to some of the stories, What happened was that the Tanaim arranged that somebody go ahead, and this was somebody named Shimon HaKolopus, who would infiltrate their ranks and basically convince them to no longer observe Torah and not be Jewish anymore. And he succeeded. In a sense, he's the hero of this work.
Is it Peter? No.
So it resembles Peter, Paul, Simon. I'm not an expert in the apostles, so I don't really know. But there's
all Jewish, by the way, all the apostles except Luke.
So there's a lot in both the academic literature and the like on this stuff. But anyway, that is the Yart site that we're celebrating or commemorating on the 9th of Teves. Now, again, it's obvious why, if this theory is correct, and Professor Lehman thinks this is the most likely to be the correct explanation, why the event had to be hidden. It couldn't be published. It has to be referred to enigmatically as an event that took place but could not be written down. And that is the Yart site. If so, it makes sense. It fits into the other events that happen that are recorded in Megillus Tainus of Yart sites, and it would be quite a fascinating thing. So those are the events surrounding today. I think we'll just close with a bit of chizuk as to what our avoda is today. For the last 3 days, whatever exactly happened, three tragic things, three things that warrant fasting happened. And what is our avoda of today? So a lot of times on fast days, we're very makbid about not eating. But the Rambam tells us in source number 18 that the ikkar of a fast day is not really the fasting. The ikkar of a fast day is that it's meant to be a day of tshuva. Liftoach darkei tshuva, v'zyez yez yikaron l'maseinu harayim, u'maisei avoseinu shehayu k'maseinu ata shegarem lohem v'lanu osan atzaros. Every generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's because it could have been destroyed in that generation. Therefore, today when we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or the beginning of the process of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we have to think about what our actions are, what we are doing wrong, that are preventing the Beis HaMikdash from being rebuilt. The Mishnah Berurah in the final source points out that people that go ahead and fast on a fast day, but don't engage in tshuva and cheshbon hanefesh and the like, are ochsem es ha'ikar u'minichen es ha'tafel. They are holding on to ochsem es ha'tafel u'minichen es ha'ikar. They are holding on to the secondary, point of a fast day, which is to fast. But the point isn't to fast. The point is to do tshuva. And that's why we do fast. Fasting is an act of tshuva. So when we think about these tragic events that we are remembering today, yesterday, and the previous day, it's important to make sure that that they inspire us to improve our ways. And Be'ezras Hashem, if we do that, we'll be zocha that next year, as we saw in the first source, these days will be days of Sachson Usimcha and Moedim Tovim, the MS Vashal Mehavu.